Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Whether you are a sun seeker or a shade lounger, sunblock really is your skin's best friend. From toddlers to teens, adults to older people, everyone needs UV protection. But a new fad in this area has also seen the rise of something called tan accelerators. But Dr. Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist, has a warning about those, don't you, Rosemary?
I do indeed, Claire.
You're not mad about them. Why?
Really, Claire, you know, they should actually be renamed skin cancer accelerators, because what they do is simply amplify the dangerous effects of UV on the skin to achieve a darker tan. So, like, even a primary school child at this stage would know that that's not going to be a good idea, since UV causes skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it very hard to believe that these products are allowed to be sold over the counter, and actually I think they must have just slipped through the net.
I've seen them, so for sale right beside the sunscreen, and some of them have sunscreen in them. I assume that they were fake tan with sunscreen.
That's exactly what I assumed, Claire. I really did, until I looked into it one day when I was looking at them. And I suspect that a lot of people might naively think the same. And the thing about them is that while they have a sunblock in them, they cannot be used. These often contain active ingredients called sorolins, which are drugs that we put on the skin for people that we're treating for psoriasis to make them more photosensitive. But when we put it on their skin, we keep them indoors for 24 hours so they don't get any extra sunlight on the skin, any UV. So I think it's very misleading that they're sold right beside sunblocks and fake tans.
Mm-hmm. So what people should be doing then is loading up on the Factor 50, really, full stop.
Absolutely. And the clothes, Claire. Don't forget that the best sun protection is always going to be a hat and clothes. But load up on the sunblock. Remember to reapply it. The biggest problem I see daily is that people will say two things. They'll say, I'm not going out today, so I didn't put on sunblock, even though they're not necessarily at home. What they mean is they're not going out for a walk. And with the advent of a lot of working from home, I think an awful lot of people are going to be sitting at home beside a window getting sun all day, but just because they didn't leave to go to work, they didn't put on the sunblock. And I'm always saying, don't save money on sunblock. You're only going to then have to fix what you broke and spend money on lasers, etc., to try and remove the sun damage.
Mm-hmm. You've also expressed concern, I know, about nasal sprays, which contain melatonin, which is a synthetic hormone which is designed to stimulate pigment cells and enhance your tan when it's exposed to the sun, to the UV rays. So what are your concerns there?
Well, this is considered a very risky drug, and again, was banned in Australia, and they're well ahead of us on all these sun problems. And it's not on prescription. In Australia, unless you get it on prescription for medical reasons, it's not licensed here. But I have been told by my patients that they have obtained the nasal spray from their sunbed, their tanning salons. They're selling it there illegally. Now, a case of melanoma was reported with melanotan, but a lot of abnormal moles have been observed. So it's the same problem. Anything which artificially stimulates your pigment cells might well take them a step too far.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so it's dangerous. And I don't think we know the full extent of it yet, Claire, because the tan accelerators have really only taken off recently, to my knowledge. So once they're widely available, the very fact that somebody is going on a sunbed is bad enough. That's increasing their risk of melanoma by 60%. But then throw in a tan accelerator or melanotan on top, and again, they're really increasing their risk of skin cancer.
Okay, now, questions coming in, and I know we're perhaps at risk of confusing people, because I see the first one here says, face tan or tanning drops that aren't bad for your skin. Now, face tan, we know what that is. Tanning drops, that's an additive that you can put into your body moisturiser or your general moisturiser, and it will give you a bit of a fake tan. You're not averse to those, are you?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm totally addicted to them, Claire. It takes away that blue-white look that us Irish frequently get. So, again, there was a lot of controversy as to whether or not the ingredient DHA, which is in these, was safe. They reviewed the doses, and I think they lowered the, or they increased the threshold so that it's really low-dose DHA in fake tans and tanning drops, and we have no reason to think that they're not safe. In fact, they're the only safe tan.
Mm-hmm. As long as people remember, you're not protected from in sun exposure using these things.
That's a very good point. And some of them will say they'll have fake tan with sunblock. And I say, well, that's irrelevant, because when you put on your fake tan, you usually only put it on every few days. So it doesn't matter that you put on a factor 15 or 20 going to bed at night while you're putting on your fake tan. You have to, I would disregard any SPF in those products and just use your SPF frequently.
Now, Liz is concerned about whether high factor sun creams keep out vitamin D, which of course we all need a bit of as we go through, particularly the winter months. What is at play there? If you're putting on a high factor sunblock, are you keeping out your vitamin D too?
Not enough, Claire. So first of all, pretty much everybody in Ireland, apart from those who are genetically predisposed to high calcium or kidney stones, pretty much everybody should probably be on vitamin D, and everybody should certainly be checking their levels with the GP. So no sunblock is 100%. And if they were, we would be seeing fewer skin cancers, not more. And vitamin D deficiency is terribly common, and vitamin D is really crucial. It's now being regarded as a hormone. It's involved in so many pathways. So I would be saying you should be on your vitamin D anyway and stay on it all year round, because if your own skin produces vitamin D, you don't end up toxic. You just don't absorb it. You'll switch off your own production. We don't get enough UVB in Ireland to meet our vitamin D needs. So you're only going to manufacture vitamin D by the skin between the hours of 12 and 2 when the sun is at a particular angle, if you've enough skin exposed and your shadow is longer than your height. And that amounts to very, very little. Now, if you have a diet very, very rich in fish, tuna, etc., you may get more. So Eskimos don't run vitamin D deficiency, neither do the Japanese. But most other people living this far north will.
Okay, so keep taking the supplements year round. I have a more general
yes.
question for you now. This person got electrolysis for hair removal on the upper lip 20 years ago and says that it caused damage. So they say it looks like white dots all over that area, and they'd
yeah.
like to know if there's anything that can be done to repair it.
The truth is probably not a lot. I say be very, very cautious with electrolysis. I do think there's a role for people with very blonde hair or grey hair once the hair has gone grey. Other than that, always rely on laser if you have any colour in the hair. When electrolysis causes scarring, it causes tiny little punched out holes on the skin, little ice pick scars, and you can't get rid of them, Claire. So be very careful with who you go to for
oh,
your
yes.
electrolysis.
So there's not much that person can do about
not
that at
really,
this stage.
No.
Now,
no.
my Mark from Kildare says that his 18-year-old son suddenly appeared with his hands, the colour on his skin turned yellow. After a while, they all started to crack and peel, and it looked like the skin underneath was okay, but they couldn't get an answer from their GP as to what was going on. Would you have any ideas?
Well, that's interesting. Again, with that little bit of a history, it sounds like a disorder called keratoderma, where you get a thickening of the skin, typically on the palms and soles. They have the same keratin background. So palms and soles usually go together. And, you know, that history is really very, it's a small little bit snapshot of what could be a bigger picture. So I would suggest that if that's an ongoing problem, ask to be referred to a dermatologist, because there are many causes of keratoderma.
All right. Well, our next listener did seek an appointment with a dermatologist but couldn't get to one until 2025, or is on a list for 2025, hence Anya's message to us this morning. So her question is about swollen lips, which she experienced in April. They then went crusty. Anya got antibiotics twice, but they continued to swell and crust, and they still look awful. She's changed all of her cosmetics, her makeup, etc., but it's really uncomfortable. Any help would be appreciated on that one, says Anya.
Okay, well, the first thing I would do is ring up the dermatologist secretary and plead to go on the cancellation list, because Anya probably needs allergy testing called patch testing for her lips. She's got keelitis, which is inflammation of the lips. This often gets infected. It could be something as simple as a new toothpaste. She should go back to just a simple white toothpaste, floss without any peppermint in it, ditch all the lip balms, etc. at the moment. Just use petroleum jelly, unless it makes her worse. But sometimes keelitis can be caused by general medical problems, or most commonly, it's an allergy. She's coming in contact with something.
Yeah, I know she says she's changed all of her products that she's using, but sometimes you'll see people, I'm sure you'll confirm for us, who might have a reaction to vitamin C in some of their products, or retinols, or some of those active products that people are using now.
Totally. So if she is using retinols, well, hopefully she'd have made that connection and it wouldn't really just give her dry lips. She should have it elsewhere on the face.
Okay.
But if she is, obviously do stop the active ingredients. But the thing about keelitis is it can be very hard to pin down. It can even be foods, Claire, such as spices in curries, cinnamon. There are certain foods that will cross-react with things that go on the skin. So that's why patch testing, which is a specific form of allergy testing for contact dermatitis, is usually indicated, and sometimes a biopsy.
Okay, so many questions coming in on so many different topics. We've time for one quick one, though. A 50-year-old who has had 15 skin tags appear all over the body. They're going to the local nurse to have them frozen off. But the question is, can I do anything to prevent them from coming back?
The answer is probably no. Now, again, without seeing her, skin tags can appear anywhere, but a tag is typically what we will see in the armpits, around the neck, or in the groin. If she's talking about them appearing all over the body, the chances are she's talking about a very common condition called seborrheic keratosis, or aging warts. And they're not a virus, and they come with the passage of time. 50 would be young enough to be getting them, but if that's what they are, warty, typically brown growths on her body, treatment with liquid nitrogen is the answer.
Okay, Rosemary, thank you so much. That's Dr. Rosemary Coleman.